Welcome, everybody. This is Erica James, and I'm so glad you are joining in to Activating Your Spiritual Power today. We have a lot to go over. So there is a handout. I've put it in your chat, and my hope is for you guys not to be chatting the whole time, but really pay attention. We'll come back to it a little bit later when it's time to ask questions. So I want to welcome everybody. We've got a ton to go over. I'm going to mute everybody right now. Okay. All right. So we're going to keep a clean session right now. I've muted everybody and I'm controlling the mute from my end. I'll unmute when it's time to ask some questions. There's well over 100 people registered for today. So we'll probably do questions in the Q&A at the end and we'll do it via the chat. So as you move through, there is a handout. So you can feel free to download that. If you look at the chat on your screen, you should see that handout location. You can click on that. Feel free to download it or just open on your screen. And we are going to get started. All right, you all. Let me see. I'm changing my view here. All right. So welcome, everybody, to Activating Your Spiritual Power. Again, I'm Erica D. James. I'm not going to have a ton of time to go over who I am, but what I want you to know is that my primary gift is having ears that receive new revelation from the Lord. And so I really get the joy of moving as a prophet and as an apostle in my kingdom minister side and in the business side in the marketplace. And so I'm really excited about that and to be able to bring that. There is a presentation, so give me a second. I'm going to share my screen so we can all see that and we are going to get started. All right. So welcome, everybody. You are in the right place, the right time. I know a lot is swirling around us. I do not want you to be concerned, and I'll tell you why as we move through this call. So let's talk about some housekeeping details. Again, you will receive an audio and video recording of this. So if you're a visual learner, I love this platform because you can actually see what's happening on your screen. Back in the day, all I could do was teleclass. And so I'm so excited to be able to have the ability to do video. There will be a Q&A at the end. We'll do it via the chat. So what I need you to do is keep track of your questions as you move through this, because we're going to come back around probably the last 15 minutes or so to be able to do that. You'll see a link on your screen as well as in your handout where you can download the handout and keep it for yourself. I don't know about you, but when I go to presentations and the stuff is juicy and good, I always want a copy of that handout. And so feel free. One of the things, if you all are new to any of my trainings, I really flow in the spirit. And so there's some bullet points on here. This handout is just, and the presentation is just a guide. But know that I reserve the right to be led by the Spirit. So that's why you want to keep your pen and paper handy, because we have a lot to go over. I suggest you listen again and again. This call really is about helping us remember who we are. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. And I suggest you listen until you get this in your cells and in your bones, in your heart, not just in your head. Take notes, you all, because we're going to have a lot to go over today. And I have a couple of assumptions I'm operating from I want to share with you. The first is that you are using wisdom in the natural realm, not paranoia, because things have really crossed the line over to panic, but you're using wisdom. And one of the areas of wisdom I just want to highlight is make sure you are building your immunity system. So do some research on what things you can do to build your immunity system, whether it's take vitamins, get off sugar, whatever it is you need to do to build your immunity system. It's really important in this time. It's important whether or not the coronavirus was in the earth, but it is. And so we're going to keep it real. And I'm assuming you're operating with wisdom in terms of hand washing and all of the things that make sense that people are telling us to do. The other thing I really want you guys to know is that I am assuming you know the scripture. It is profound for me to see the body of Christ that knows scripture, not have an understanding of it, meaning it moves from your head into your heart. And so this isn't a Bible study. There's plenty of scripture. You probably know most of it. But what I want to focus on today is you getting that scripture from your head to your heart into your being. That is the purpose of this today. So certainly can give some illumination to the word. I have no problem with that. Ask your questions if you feel so inclined. But I do have scripture obviously backing up the teachings today, but we're not going to have all the time to delve into it. I want to bring you revelation and remembrance today so you can remember who you are and stay calm and cool in the midst of this madness. So I want to start about understanding why this call, why this training is for such a time as this. We have transitioned from the gospel of salvation into the gospel of the kingdom. And if you read Matthew 24, 3 through 35, it talks about the things that are going to show up as we make this transition. And so all of this was prophesied thousands of years ago. It talks about pestilence. It talks about the beginning of sorrows. It talks about really the earth as we know it ending. And I want to invite you not to panic in that, because on the other side of it for you and I is a new earth and a new Jerusalem. So don't panic, you all, no matter what you're seeing with your natural eye. I want you to stay in your kingdom identity. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come, which after that, there's a new beginning. And so I want you to be encouraged, but I also want you to understand the scriptural signs that are happening at this time. So you're not surprised, okay? That's really important. The form of it may be surprising, but the fact that these things were going to happen and have been happening, that should not be surprising to us. So we've got some specific training objectives today. I'm going to open by dealing with prophetic insight and why this has been God allowed. I think that is critical to understand, because this is a time to strengthen our understanding and belief in God, not to question it. And if you look with your natural eye at what's happening and you're letting the news fill your ears and all of that stuff, you actually can begin to operate like the world and get what I call spiritual amnesia and literally forget who you are. So it's really important that we don't go into that space. So we'll be talking about some of the prophetic, how to move from prayer into taking authority over all sickness and disease, not just coronavirus. These are principles that work on all things. We're going to talk about understanding the steps. I want to give you action. I've seen a lot of, you know, live streams and different things going out where we're preaching the word, which is really amazing and powerful. But I'm actually a teacher also. I want to give you specifics. How should we be spending our time? What are the specific steps you and I should be taking to be in power, dominion, and authority? And then how do we keep coronavirus from entering our body? And then what tools and equipment do we have to access and guard against this virus in particular? How to take authority over physical spaces, you all, that's really important. You are called to create good ground wherever you go, which means the power is in you to guard against anything of darkness, including infirmity, including coronavirus, wherever you go, not just inside your body, inside your home, inside your workplace, inside your community. And I want to remind you and teach some of us for the first time how to walk in that authority. And then we're going to talk about how do we begin to partner with the angelic realm, who is waiting our beck and call to get commands to know what to do at this time. Okay? So let's talk about the prophetic for a minute. If you listen to a lot of the prophetic words that went out at the beginning of the year, one of the themes you heard, not just from me, but from many prophets, was this was going to be a time of rest. And then God said, it's not just a time of rest, it's a time of reset. So what's been happening in the earth is we have gotten taken up by the pace of the world. So we as Christians, what's happened is we have become in the world and of the world, instead of in the world and not of the world as we're called to be. And so the Lord is literally doing a reset. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of many other scenarios that the entire earth would slow down and be disrupted. Because remember, God will not put new wine in old wineskins. So he has to clear out, do some cleansing and all of this stuff. Another reason this is God allowed is for the strengthening of your belief and faith. You're going to hear me talk about belief quite a bit today. And belief is defined, I want you to write this down, as 100% certainty. And belief, if you read the word, there's a lot of ifs before you believe. If you believe, if you believe, because we've been taught, at least I was taught, that when I became a Christian, I became a believer. But to become a Christian does not mean you actually believe. It means you may know the scripture, but do you believe? Are you 100% certain of who you are in Jesus, of that you are to carry the scripture? And I have ceased calling all Christians believers, but that is our work in this season. Are you 100% certain? Are you unshakable? Are you unflappable? And then adding works to that belief, and then it becomes faith. This is one of the reasons this is being God allowed. It is a time to strengthen. It is a time of confession and repentance. This is a time from the earth for the earth to turn from its wicked ways so the Lord can heal the land. And I have throughout this handout scripture references. I want you to go to the scripture and look at these and begin to ask God for the illumination, the understanding, not just the knowledge, but the understanding of what's being taught today. And you've heard these things. Today, my assignment is to speak it in a way that it permeates your being and you get realigned and have a spiritual chiropractic adjustment back to who you were created and who you're called to be. So this is a time for confession and repentance. As individuals, as communities, as nations, there are many things that we have off, and we have to confess and then turn from our wicked ways, our ways of darkness, our ways of the world, and just confess those things that haven't been of light, that we've been thinking, we've been feeling, we've been operating in, and it is the time to step out of those areas. And we know what they are because as the Lord stirs up the power of the kingdom inside us, we get convicted in those areas. And those areas that you are observing that are I don't know about you, but when I see things happening in the world, it can be disturbing. So I have been repenting on behalf of the science community and all the genetic modification we've been doing. We've changed the food. We've changed things from God's original design. And I've been repenting from that. And so if there's things in the world that you're seeing, if you're seeing things governments are doing, if you're seeing things that are of darkness, you can stand in the gap and repent on behalf of those institutions, those individuals, of those races, whatever it is. So this is important for you all to stand in your spiritual authority around confession and repentance. This is a time to remember the power of Jesus within you. It's time to suit up. It's time to put on our special gear for such a time as this. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Most of us are very clear about who Jesus is, who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are outside of us. But are we clear and do we remember the power of Jesus inside of us, that you have the full power inside of you and it has been delegated from the Father to Jesus and from Jesus to you over the earthly realm, the heavenly realm, and everything therein? That's a big pill to swallow. These are things to meditate on, you all, until this permeates our being. Another reason that prophetically we need to understand what's happening right now is you're called to be the light of the world. So if you stand me up next to people of the world, you should see something different. You should see a peace in me. You should see a joy in me. You should see a power in me. You should see the fruits of the Spirit active in me. And that's what we are called to do. And when I'm off in those areas, you all, that's what we go back to confessing and repenting. And we get this stuff right. I'm telling you, God is literally hitting the slow motion button, hitting the pause button so we can get this right. It is a time of preparation to fill our storehouses. I was asking the Lord about the world's economy right now. And he said that this is a prop up. This is not the recession, but it is coming. So there will be a prop up. in a governmental prop-up, the stimulus package is coming. And I'm not saying put your faith in that, but what I am saying is the Lord was saying there's going to be prop-ups happening in governments and nations. And it is this is a heed and a warning, or I should say a warning to heed, that it's time to get our storehouses in place. So if we're living with no savings, if we're like, the statistics are staggering. This is a time to start filling your storehouse. This is a time to set aside 10% of everything. This is even before the tithe, you all. That's a whole other teaching. But you've got to keep a seed so money can do and economics can do what it's called to do, which is to multiply. All right? So that first 10%, you keep it in your house. You put it in savings. We need emergency funds. We need all kinds of things in our storehouses so it can overflow. And there's more than enough for us so we can be a blessing to other people. This next year is critical to build your storehouse. Be very intentional about this. This is about understanding God's economic system and entering in. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. This is about realizing and living in your kingdom rank or your heavenly position. So I'm going to go into that a little bit later. Another reason this is being allowed by the Lord is it's time to take dominion over darkness from the inside out. Far too long have we gone as Christians carrying darkness and sickness and inadequacy and insecurity and self-hatred and rejection and doubt and all of these fears inside of us. And then we cannot take dominion if we're carrying it inside of us to the things outside of us. So it is time to take dominion over darkness from the inside of us and then outward. We want to go save nations. We want to heal people, but can we cast a headache out? So it's time to get back to getting in alignment with the power of the kingdom of heaven inside you. One of the things the Lord said, that this is a time he is utilizing to transfer the wealth of the wicked to the righteous, or the sins, from the sinners to the just. So there's scripture reference there for that, which means get your storehouses ready, get your stuff in order. This next year is about order. So you become a steward of the things that God is bringing you as a kingdom distribution center and as a storehouse. And you all, this is about him reestablishing. It's never been, I should say establishing, because it's never been gone, but his sovereignty, reminding us of his sovereignty. And God's government. And we've been taught the fivefold is only in the ministry, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That is God's government in the earth. When we are properly operating in these ranks, everything gets taken care of. But if you read that scripture, what happens is we are still in our child, getting tossed to and fro by different doctrines, by fear, by the things of the world, and we are not even in God's government yet. Because if you're still stressed out about the things in the world, if we're still struggling with who we are, if we're still going up and down with our bank account balance, we're still children. And it's time to elevate to sonship. Lastly, it is a repositioning in the earth realm. Literally, things have gotten out of order because you and I have forgotten who we are as a body, as a corporate body. And it's time for that remembrance. I want you to remember, you know this, but this is a time for you to be the light of the world. This is a time that God will be standing you up on the mountainside as a lighthouse, as a beacon, as an influencer, as one who carries his presence and the answers to what the earth needs right now. So those things that God has been trying to innovate in you, those things that God has been trying to bring out of you, this is the time to get it done. We're not going to get this slowdown ever again. And so this is the time, as things are limited. I was blown away when I was driving into the office this morning. There might have been 3 cars on the road. And the only other time I see that is in a time of storm, where it's icy out or it's snowing, and I tend to drive at those times. And so I love being the only one, but I was like, wow, this is profound. So this time is something to take full advantage of. It is God allowed. It is God given. In many ways, it is a gift, because he's saying, slow down, daughters. Slow down, son. It's time to reset. So we've got to remember who we are. And I use this concept frequently. So if you've been around my teachings, you're like, oh, Erica, I got this. But you know what? So many of us don't. And so I want to take you back to one of your first jobs. Maybe you were 17 or 18 or 19 or whatever age it was. Back in the day, before everything was online, there was a period of time when you would start a job and then you would get positioned in a conference room somewhere, typically with a binder. Now it'll be all online. And somewhere in that, if you're at a company with structure, they're going to present to you an organizational chart. The reason they present this to you is because they need you to understand where you stand in the organization of their structure. So if you're hired as the CEO, they're saying, understand where the CEO is in the flow of things, because we need you not to come in functioning as the receptionist tomorrow. We need you to come in functioning as the CEO, and you need to know who reports to you, who you report to, etc. If you are middle management, please don't come in behaving like the janitor, because that is a different rank. And every rank, every position in an organization chart holds power, dominion, and authority. And so we must remember who we are. And we know, according to scripture, that God is on the throne, you all. We know that. But what we forget, we may know it intellectually, what we forget in our hearts and in our being is that because Jesus set the pattern, he died to self. He was crucified on the cross. He was buried, dead and buried for 3 days. In those 3 days, he reconnected with this divinity around the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why there was 3 days. In that time, he ascended into hell. He took dominion over the power of darkness. Then he rose and he lived in the resurrection on the earth, the new man, but that wasn't all. Then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, back to his original position. But here's the key: you and I ascended with him. What does that mean? Because most of us don't live like this. We live like we are below Satan and darkness down here somewhere. I hope you can see that arrow. Instead of remembering that we are at the right hand of the Father in Jesus. That is profound. One of the things I'm going to talk about later is increasing your time in his presence. I want you to start asking kingdom questions in this season. Lord, what does it mean for me to sit at your right hand? How do I function from the throne, from my heavenly position? We may know it. We may be able to quote the scripture, but are we functioning in it? Are we keeping our peace? Are we being fearless? Are we standing in our power? Are we taking authority, dominion, and power as we are designed to do? And then below you, and Jesus literally reordered this, then there are the angels. And they are waiting on your instruction and command. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. When we forget who we are, we sometimes think the angels are above us and we're waiting on them to do something, and they're waiting on us to recall and remember who we are. Angels are fascinated with us because they know that they are subject to us, but we have forgotten that. And then there is the earth, the natural realm, the things in the physical circumstances, the things in the physical 3D, what I call the earth realm, the natural. And then underneath that is Satan and darkness. And inside of that darkness is this coronavirus. So it is at your feet. When we remember who we are, when we forget who we are, it feels like a giant. It feels like it's controlling. It feels like we're subject to it. And that's where we are right now in the world. But you and I are not of the world. We are just in it. So we are called to function differently. And so the coronavirus, all things that are not of Jesus or the light, are darkness, and they are of the realm of darkness. And they are, until we take the power back, they are, I don't want to say ruled by Satan, but influenced, how about that, by Satan. He has very little power, only the power we leave him. And I remember praying and asking the Lord one day, I said, Lord, how big is Satan compared to you, Jesus? How big? And he literally showed me his foot with the flea on the bottom. He said, that is the size of Satan, and we've given him the power of a giant. So remember that this even invisible enemy, as I'm hearing it being called, is subject. It is a flea on the bottom of your foot. And so the rest of this time together, I'm going to be talking from the standpoint of who you really are. And I want to remind us of that. And you can read more about this in Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, and then again in Ephesians 2. So you'll see that scripture there in the bottom of your screen. All right, you all. So here is the first and the foremost thing we must remember, that you were called, designed, and literally created to be fearless. What's happened is we have become subject. We've gotten out of order in that heavenly rank. We've forgotten who we are. We're functioning beneath as if we're the tail instead of on top as if we're the head. And when that happens, fear enters in. And my Christian experience has been talking about this boogeyman that's out to get us, named the devil. And this enemy that's lurking around, and the higher the levels, the more devils, and all of these things we say that are not even the truth. You're going to hear me talk about it later, but Jesus broke Satan's power. He is no longer the active enemy. That implies that there is still a spiritual war that has not been declared won. And that is not biblical. You and I are already victorious. It's the already done work in the heavenly realm that we're calling into manifestation in the earthly realm, so we can become and manifest the kingdom of God in the earth as reflected of the kingdom of heaven in the already done spiritual realm. So it is so important. And I would even venture to say, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a professional medically, but let me tell you something. More dangerous than not hand washing is to have fear in our hearts at this time. That is what gives right, legal right to darkness. And that's what you don't want to do. You can be exposed to germs as you and I are all day long, every day. We can be exposed to viruses all day long, every day. We are. It's part of the human experience. But we have a natural immunity system. God has created you and I to operate in a healed state. And so we have things in the natural to deal with that. It's the spiritual roots that are my concern. And so this corporate fear that has been instilled in Christians has got to be broken. So I want to challenge you to practice not calling Satan the enemy. He's just Satan, and he's a flea, and he's at your feet, and he does not have the power to determine what you will and will not do. So I call us back to remembrance in who we are. We break the corporate fear that has been instilled in Christians. And the longer you've been in the walk, the more you're carrying, until you remember who you are. There is nothing to fear in the earth or in the spiritual realm. Darkness is subject to who you are. You have the fullness of Jesus inside of you and the Holy Spirit to take dominion, a power, and authority. It can only exist where you have forgotten your power. It is time to be fearless. And if you are carrying fear, use it as a tool, because it illuminates the areas in which we do not believe God. So if you have anxiety, if you have worry, if you have stress, or any fruit of the spirit of fear, what's happening is God is allowing it so you can identify the areas you don't believe him for. So if there's any fear in your life, write it down. There's lots of space in your handout. Write it down. What are you scared of? What are you scared of in your life? What are you scared of as it relates to coronavirus? Because those are areas you are not in faith around. So let the fear illuminate, and then we're going to talk about casting it out, because it is not designed to stay. All right? The world is full of fear, you all. Somebody has to stand and be fearless. And I talked about this earlier, but Jesus broke the power of Satan in the earth, in the heavenly realm. And so there's really nothing to fear. But what we must fundamentally understand is that any darkness we see in our bodies, whether it's sickness, whether it's fear, whether it's low self-esteem, anything that is not of the Holy Spirit, the fruits thereof, and the seven spirits of the Father, it's darkness. And darkness is trespassing. It has no right. Coronavirus has no right in the earth. So there's been legal right that's been gained. And we, you and I, we get to break it down. We get to take authority out of this. And I even said in one of the emails I sent out that we literally get to cast this thing out of the earth. The Lord was showing me that those of us who walk in this and who are generals in this, in the kingdom, right here and now, that we, there are angels that we can access at the highest levels of heaven. You and I, no matter where we are in our process, we have access to angels. But there's particular angels that literally carry so much light from the kingdom atmosphere into the earth's atmosphere that all sickness and disease would die and all coronavirus would go. The Lord said there's enough unemployed angels in the heavenly realm awaiting for us to remember who we are, awaiting our command, awaiting our instruction, that there is enough for every household to be swept clean. That's deep, you guys. So it's so critical that we get in position. And so realize in the event that even if coronavirus somehow gets in your temple, it's trespassing. And anything that trespasses can be kicked out and is to be kicked out. So make no mistake about it. All infirmity is darkness. We as Christians, fundamentally, Christianity 101 should be healed. We should not be contending with sickness. It is a fundamental right that we have to be well. It is a fundamental power that we carry. And when we are contending with sickness or stressed out about it, guess what? It sucks up our energy and takes it from building our purpose and building that extraordinary thing that you were designed to build in the earth. And so there's scripture throughout that. Write that down, take a look at it, go back on it, go back into it, meditate on it. Because it is time for you and I to get suited up, to put on the special uniform designed for such a time as this. And just putting on the helmet of salvation will change your life. If you look at an old school helmet, it always carried something, not just to protect the head, but also the face. It became that through which you perceive. And if you change the helmet, your perception changed. And so the helmet of salvation, that alone involves being healed, being delivered, being protected, being preserved. All of these things are in that helmet of sozo or salvation. But most of us, unfortunately, don't have that helmet on. We've got a helmet of fear on. We've got a helmet of our past. We're looking and perceiving through our past, through who our family struggles said we are, from who our rejection said we are. We're still operating in our orphan. We're perceiving through the wrong helmet. I ask you today, what helmet are you wearing? It is time to take off the old garments, you all, and get our suits on. Warrior's suit up. Now is your time. We've got that breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts, because that is the spiritual gateway between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. Because Satan's power was broken by Jesus, he cannot steal, he cannot kill, he cannot attack you. John 10:10 is not about Satan. It's about another thief that comes in other ways. And we've brought on this hearsay that Satan has the power to steal, kill, and destroy, and he does not. It is one of the greatest lies that have permeated the body of Christ. And we must remember and get back to the truth. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is, and this is not in your handout, the pre-established, pre-ordained order of the kingdom of heaven. So that breastplate of righteousness aligns our heart with who God created us to be. It closes doorways that Satan and darkness get legal right to enter into our lives, into our generational lines, into our families, better known as curses. And that breastplate of righteousness, the Lord says, the word says to guard your heart. When you guard, you are not just keeping things out. You are establishing what gets in and what gets out. So if you're guarding someone's home, or you're hired as a security guard, you determine what gets in. So the things of light get in. The things of darkness cannot. We have not been guarding our hearts because there's too much darkness in them. And so put on that breastplate of righteousness of the kingdom of heaven. Begin to ask kingdom questions. Lord, who did you create me to be? a question I asked the Lord and it changed my life was, when you and the angels discuss me, what do you say and what do you call me? When you begin to operate in righteousness, it's not just being good to people. It's not what it is. It is the preordained, pre-established order of the kingdom of heaven. When we begin to operate in righteousness, we are spirit-led. We are led by the Holy Spirit. We walk in our sonship because the word says the son shall be led of the spirit. We're not led by flesh. We're not led by the world. We're not led by what our eyes see. We're not led by fear. We're led by the power and the urging and the instruction of the kingdom of heaven. And that happens in your heart. So that breastplate of righteousness is critical. The belt of truth, and I'm not talking about our lowercase truth, our beliefs that I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. I have to beg God for protection in this time. I just have to hope and hope everything goes well. The truth is remembering who you are. And it's a capital T. It's immovable. It is the truth of the word of God. It is the truth of what the Holy Spirit is bringing you in this season. The sword of the Spirit, that's following the lead of the Holy Spirit. And holy means without mixture. So it has no darkness in that sword. It is cutting between the wheat and the tare. You're able to discern what is the Holy Spirit, what is of the world, what is of the Holy Spirit, what is of darkness, what is of light, what is of darkness. Is this Jesus or is this something else? That sword begins to cut through and bring that word of God like never before. And that shield of faith. Now, you're not even in faith until you're in belief. And belief means you're 100% certain in who God is inside of you. 100% certain. You know your power. You know your purpose. You know you're extraordinary, as I call it. You're crystal clear about that. And I always tell people, do not mistake my certainty for arrogance. Because there comes a point after the old self dies that God's design is what's left. And we are not designed to be on the defensive. We are designed to be on the offensive and walk this thing out. The feet of peace. This is a time of peace. This is a time that we bring peace to wherever we go. I don't care how much panic's happening. My daughter called me from Atlanta the other day. She goes, Mama, there's just no toilet paper, which is fascinating. That's a whole other issue. And I said, Kali, you need not worry. Because we have washcloths. And she just fell out laughing. I said, don't worry. You're fine. We'll be fine. And I said, oh, and by the way, they will be restocking. And sure enough, she texted me yesterday and said, Mama, I got a 12-pack. And just little things. Just watch the peace that we're bringing. Watch the truth of what we're walking in. All right? You and I are called to look different from the world. And we're actually about to be the ones the world comes to for understanding. When we walk in our full armor, when we walk with those feet of peace alone, people start coming to you and saying, why are you so calm? Someone asked me the other day, like, why are you so calm? Why are you not freaked out? Because I know who I am. And I know the times we're in. And I know God's promises. So therefore, you all put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand. That's all you have to do. Stand. You don't have to fight. You don't have to freak out. You don't have to, none of that. Just stand and watch what God will do through you. So I want to remind you that you have authority, dominion, and power. I want you to write this down. We hear this all the time. And remember, kingdom means to rule. This is not in your handout. Write that down. Kingdom means to rule. You and I are called to rule and to reign in the earth. Whatever area you're called to, whether it's your workplace, you are called to rule and reign there. You are called to set the atmosphere. You are called to change the standard. You are called to elevate that place. You're called to be an infusion of light, that it be so strong in you that it overflows to everyone and everything. And so kingdom means to rule. And to rule means you're operating in your power authority, and dominion. So let's talk about this. What is authority? I want you to write this down. It's not in your handout. It is understanding who you are and the right you have to operate in it. So authority is understanding who you are and the right you have to operate in it. Remember that org chart I talked about? So if you walked into that job, it inherent in the organizational chart is the authority. You ever been at a job and someone's trying to boss you that's not your boss? And you're like, you are a coworker. You are my peer. Why are you trying to boss me? Why are you operating in authority as if you have it and you don't? Because with each position, there's a certain authority that comes. So why are you acting like you have a legal right over me? Why are we doing that? You don't have authority over me. That's not your rank. That's not your position. And so we have to remember what our authority is, that you have full authority through Christ inside you. You have the right to operate in it. Think of it like permission. You have been granted permission. You don't have to wait for permission to be who you are. You don't have to wait for permission to operate in what you're called to operate in. You already have that authority, that right, and that permission. And then dominion is understanding the position over a particular territory. So for example, you have dominion over your home. You have dominion over your workplace. You have dominion over your body. There should be nothing of darkness in it. I always pray, God, close the gap. This is my first thing I think every morning. Lord, close the gap between who you created me to be and where I am right now. Because every area of my life, and I'm still working on this, every area of my life needs to reflect the glory of God. Because it is territory that I have been granted to operate in authority. And so there's always territory associated with dominion. As Christians, our territory is the earth. And so we've got to work from the inside out, take care of yourself, get dominion over what's happening in authority, what's happening in here. Most of us can't even pull a thought down, a negative thought down, and we're struggling with our thought life. We don't have the mind of Christ yet. We're still struggling with fears and doubts and stuff in our heart. You all, I've been preaching this for years, playtime's over. So dominion is about taking position, control, domain over your territory. And then power is about operating and applying the power of Jesus inside of you. It is the ability to act. So you have the permission, you have the territory, and you have the ability to act. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You're not waiting. So one of the things that happened when Jesus broke Satan's power is Satan was formerly the prince of the air. You'll hear him referred to in the word. And because that was broken, then you and I have domain over the air. So we don't even have to fear what we can't see. You literally can take dominion over the air. What that looks like in your day-to-day life is, let's say you've got to go to the grocery store. You're still going to work or wherever you're going or even over your home. You begin to say the coronavirus or any other unclean germ or thing has no permission to be in this space because your threshold, you have dominion over that. And if you are there, darkness has no right because of your presence. And so you just don't take dominion over the things that we see. We take dominion over the air. And we know that they're saying coronavirus is airborne. It's being communicated in the air and transferred in the air. No need to fear. Take dominion over the air. I talked about this earlier. It's about understanding who Jesus is inside of you, not just outside. We worship typically God outside of us. And I want us to make a shift in that. It's about understanding that ask, when you look that up, it actually means to command. And we perceive it as beg. Like, oh, I'm asking God, hopefully he'll help me. No. That's not what ask means. Ask and ye shall receive. It means command and it shall be done. Do you know who you are? It's time to remember. So you have the ability to ask for anything. The word says, whatever you ask in the Father's name, it shall be done for you. You don't even have to do it because there's angels at your beck and command that will orchestrate it on your and in your behalf. And we're going to talk about particularly how that works a little bit later. And I remind you, I'm going to say this again and again and again. We want to change the world. Change yourself first and work from the inside out. Now, here's the beautiful thing. As we are working through our stuff, there is a thing called the anointing. The presence of the Holy Spirit upon us, that comes upon us, that covers us. So in our brokenness and in our power, in our process, we can still be used powerfully. So be spirit led. If you are still working on your heart stuff or still trying to take dominion over a current sickness in your body, it does not mean that you cannot be spirit led and do what the Lord is telling you to do. If he says, lay hands on this person, cast something out, do it, because that means the anointing is present, but it must be spirit-led and not ego. That is the difference. So work from the inside out. And while you're in process, guess what? The anointing has you. We've already talked about this. Take authority over territories. We are our first territory. Ah, and just a reminder, you all, the Lord said to remind you guys that there's these angels of light, but angels have dominions, they have territories, they have ranks and different levels of authority. There's a particular order that the Lord has set up. And there are angels of light over the respiratory. So that is a place of vulnerability with this coronavirus. And you can call forth those angels to do supernatural surgery. If there's anything you're dealing with your immune system, whatever it is, your thought life, there are angels who have dominion over those areas. And I'm still learning their names, but they do respond by their assignment or by their nature. So call forth the angels who have dominion over knees, over legs, whatever you need, it's already done in the heavenly realm. The angels are the carriers. They're the ones that get it from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm. We reach in, but they deliver. And they deliver over faith. Now, I want to talk about faith for a minute. This isn't in your handout, so write it down. Faith is a real substance. So the Lord showed me in a vision that, and the only way I can describe it, because I love superhero stuff, because I think it's a symbol of what we have, that superpower within us through Christ. And I loved Wonder Woman growing up. And Wonder Woman had an airplane. Anybody remember this? Anybody remember Wonder Woman and her airplane? And it was this invisible airplane, but you could see it like it was a substance. It looks like what we would think plexiglass is now. Except imagine that, but it's living. That is what faith looks like in the spiritual realm. In the heavenly realm, there is a storehouse with your name on it. It has your promises. It has your material things you need. It has everything you need to succeed in the earth. Here's the challenge. If we are not in belief, 100% certainty, and we're not adding works to that belief to become faith, we don't have enough substance built up from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm for the angels literally to bring our blessings across. Now, we access it from time to time because we all have blessings. But what would it look like if you and I could increase and strengthen those plexiglass supernatural bridges of faith, that substance that builds those faith bridges? And we can call forth those angels to carry those things from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm. They are waiting for your beck and call. The Lord showed me in a vision one time. I often do, he takes me to heaven to see things, or shows me into heaven, I should say. And one day I saw this room, as far as my eye can see, full of angels. There were angels with dust on their wings. There were angels with dust on their uniforms. They were just waiting for us to wake up and remember who we are. All right, you all. So I'm just going to flow because there's some specific things I want to talk about. And we're scheduled to go to 11:30 Eastern time. I've got another about 20 minutes of teaching. And so some of these things I've alluded to, but I want to give you some specific actions, all right? Because I want to take it out of the spiritual realm and bring it into the rooted, grounded, how do we walk this out in my day-to-day life right now? Because it sounds good, doesn't it? When someone puts some scripture up and encourages us, I love that. But then when we leave that place or that sermon or that podcast, what are the specifics that we should do? Number one, increase your meditation time. Anybody who has been around me has heard me preaching this for years. This is not easy. That means, ideally, first thing in the morning, you want to spend time not just praying, not just being in the Word, not just reading your devotion, not just worshiping, but actually getting to a place of quiet where you can ask a kingdom question and wait for the answer. The Word tells us to meditate on the Word day and night. When I started moving into my kingdom identity, where I was no longer defined by the earth realm, I was no longer defined by my family line, I was no longer defined by my past hurts and emotional wounds, none of that was my definition of self anymore. It was my testimony. I call it your horizontal identity, where you're looking back to see who you are. It doesn't work that way. You have to look up and receive your identity from the original one who created you, your creator, and only God can show you who you are. It is your horizontal authority. It is your horizontal identity. When you get in that place, you are immovable by the things of the world. If you are still struggling with inadequacy, if you are still feeling like you're connected and then disconnected, if you're still feeling like you're orphaned, if you're still feeling lonely, if you're still doubting yourself, if you're still questioning your purpose, you are still looking back to define who you are. It does, listen to me, it does not work that way. That's my next training coming out. I'm actually going to teach us how to walk in our true identity, because I'm telling you, it is a different dimension. It is not the dimension of the earth realm. You are in the earth, in the world, but not of it. You're of the kingdom. You're a kingdom citizen. You've got to be asking God what that means. What does it mean to rule, reign, breathe? I literally ask God, what does it mean for me to rule from the throne? What does every single area of my life look like if I'm living from my throne position? That's what the Word says, that I sit in heavenly places on the throne with the Father in Christ. What does that mean? I kind of was raised in traditional Christianity. Well, that didn't happen until after you died. It's not true. It's right here and right now. But do we ask those questions? That's what your meditation time is for. It's about listening back. And let me tell you, it is not easy to get to that place of quietness. The first thing that's going to happen is you're going to hear your mind chatter. You're going to remember that you need eggs. You're going to remember that you ran out of cream of tartar. You're going to remember that you haven't called so-and-so back or paid that bill. Write all that stuff down. And then your body's going to get what I call the itchy twitchies. Your back's going to hurt in a place it never hurt before. You're going to get just physically uncomfortable. And you got to sit through that to get to that meditative state. And when you get to the quiet, and I hear this a lot, Erica, okay, now I'm to the quiet, but I don't hear anything. I don't care how many days it takes, go back and sit on that prayer pillow. Ask kingdom questions, because God does not respond until you ask. Because the questions you ask help him determine your readiness. And if we're asking to get the bills covered, if we're asking to be safe, if we're asking for the things already promised, he knows you're not ready for kingdom. So on the other side of that silence is the meditation time I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what the world calls mindfulness. I'm talking about hearing direct instruction through your connection with the kingdom of heaven. Like I said, it's easier said than done. It means some of us have to go to bed earlier. Some of us have to get up earlier. Some of us have to find a quiet place in our houses to go. Some of us don't have anywhere to sit comfortably. So you got to look at what is it going to take for you to really get some meditative time in, where the Lord can begin to download revelation to you. And if you find yourself getting revelation and insight in the bathroom, when you're in the shower or on the toilet or whatever, I know that's a little bit graphic, but I hear that so often, like, oh, I get that time when I'm driving to work or when I'm in the shower. It's because God is trying to get you still. So if he's downloading in the shower to you or in the bath to you, how much more will he download if you take time to sit in his presence? Number two, the second thing that you've got to do and operate in this season is self-love. Now, there is a commandment, and it is the second and greatest commandment. We know the first one is to put no gods above him. The second one is to love thy neighbor as thyself. We have lost ourselves in that. We've lost the command of ourselves, and we just focus on the neighbor. And we go, okay, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to treat people good. And I'm doing that second commandment. But if you do not love yourself or love your neighbor as yourself, which means equal, not better than, not more than, if you're nicer to people than you are to yourself, that's a problem. And so in order to capture and carry the fullness of what God has for you, you must be a sound vessel. And if we're still walking in brokenness, we are a broken vessel, and we're getting the truth, but we can't hold it. We can't operate in it. And so you've got to begin to speak kindly to yourself. You've got to begin to treat yourself kindly. You've got to begin to take immaculate care of yourself. This is the time. Guess what? The world's slowing down. You have time to do this. So practice self-love. And when we do that, then we reflect our neighbors differently. If we're speaking to ourselves out of love, guess how we then begin to speak to others? If we're perceiving ourselves through a frame of God's love for us, then we're able to love other people. You know that saying, misery loves company? Because we're always looking for the neighbor to reflect who we are. And so do that self-work. You all get to a place where you are madly in love with yourself. Not arrogant, I'm not talking about that. You love yourself as God's creation. God literally said to me that we are in sin when we do not love ourselves, because we do not love the creation that he made us to be. We do not love his creation. I was like, goodness gracious. When I first started teaching, I was 18 years old, and the first curriculum I downloaded was a self-love curriculum. And I used to think it was just, oh, it's self-esteem, it's self-worth. You all, it's deeper than that. It is a spiritual principle. It is the mirror and the perception through which you will view the world. It is your ability to appreciate how God created you and wired you. And then you will become a whole vessel that can then fill up to overflow. A broken vessel can never overflow because you're always leaking. That's deep, but it's true. So I want you to practice self-love. Immaculate self-care, self-love starts with how you're thinking and hearing, and then you cause your neighbor to treat you differently, and you treat your neighbor differently. All right, I could do a whole training on this. Anybody who's been around, I see some of you all who've been with me for years, Beverly and Dot, you guys are like, oh, Erica, we've heard this 50,000 times. I know you've heard it, but I cannot stress it enough. Do your heart work. Your heart is designed as a doorway between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. Because our hearts, so many of our hearts are still processing pain and hurt and sin and all of this stuff that has no right to be in there, without even knowing it, we are commanding legal right of darkness to manifest. So your heart work is critical. Do your heart work. You must do your forgiveness work. If you're holding anger, bitterness toward anybody, forgive them. And you do that by listing out the person and then each ought or hurt or pain you have associated with that person. And then you forgive, you decree forgiveness, and then you let that energy go. If you do not let that energy go, it turns into something in your body because it gives legal right. And it typically turns into disease, into bitterness, into all kinds of anger type related issues. Do your heart work. Really spend some time. And most people are scared to look in their hearts. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard it. Erica, you know how much stuff I have in my heart? To unpack that would take forever. I'll just leave it sealed. But this is what I will tell you. I don't have time to go into the full revelation. I have another teaching on it. The angels are designed by the Father to read what's on your heart. What they read on your heart becomes their instruction. It's in Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, so they may run that readeth it. Those are the tablets or the tables of your heart. They that run are the messenger angels. We got to get this right, you all. I cannot. This is the work. It's not in your hand washing. It's not in those things that you have physical ability to overcome. It is about the legal right. And what are you manifesting through what's written on your heart? If you've got fear in your heart, guess what the angel's going to read? And these are not angels of light that will read, because it's not of light. If it's of darkness, you're dispatching angels of darkness or the realm of darkness to manifest it for you. So I can't stress enough, do your heart work. I was always told, oh, you don't air your dirty laundry. You keep that stuff to yourself. Ah, it's not yours. It belongs to heaven. Belongs to the heavenly realm. So there's a lot in that teaching. That one place I have a whole teaching on, the levels of heaven and the reading of the heart. And it's deep, y'all. This is what I'm going to tell you. For such a time as this, do your heart work. And then you got to cast out, take dominion, authority, and power over what got in and get it out. You command it out in the name of Jesus. This is a lifestyle. To live in a delivered state is a promise of your sozo or salvation. And it is a lifestyle. If you think about the hits that your heart takes, the doorways that get open in our heart every single day, once you do that big overhaul, spring clean of deliverance, then guess what? You got to check in with your heart every night. I check in with my heart every night before I go to bed. And I don't just make sure my heart's forgiven, then I get out what got in. And the closer people are to you, the more challenging it could be. This whole human walk is about coming out of offense, because offense will abort your purpose. And when you do your heart work and you cast out what got in, you become unoffendable. You become unoffendable. And so you got to cast out what's gotten in. Again, I have whole teachings on this, got a book on this, but this is something you simply speak to it, directly to it, and you tell it what to do. Get out, never to return again, in Jesus' name. And then you let it go. It's going to come out through your breath. It's going to come out through your nose. Your eyes may water, but you'll get a cough. You'll get a yawn. You'll get an involuntary exhale. That is the evidence. You will get a physiological response when a spirit, an unclean spirit, is cast out. This is just a normal part of our walk. It's actually the first sign of those who believe. They shall cast out devils. Devils are the strongholds that get inside of us that we can get out. So important, you all. This is your work. Guess what? You've got time now, because God is doing a reset. And then this is really important, because if you have done, I love studying peak performance. And one of the things that fascinates me about the human body, like our genius of the design of God, is amazing to me. And one of the things he designed is for every cell in our body to regenerate. And some cells regenerate in a day, others take a year. But in 12 months, every cell in your body is rejuvenated. Every brain cell, every bone cell. So I begin to ask the Lord, wait a minute. If every cell in my body is rejuvenated, why in a year am I still experiencing the same disease I experienced a year ago, and it's a new cell? That just is, to me, that's a fundamental question. Like, this doesn't make sense. Help me understand, Lord. And he said it's because we're not taking dominion over ourselves. And just like Jesus spoke to that fig tree that didn't produce what it was supposed to, he commanded it to wither and die. We must recommand ourselves to regenerate in a new disease-free way. Because if we don't, they take on the form of the old cell. I thought that was so deep. And so a year from now, we will literally be different creatures in the natural. This is just the natural genius process. This isn't even the supernatural dying to self. So if you understand how to command your cells to regenerate anew, fresh, with no disease, and to command the old ones to die, guess what begins to happen? We begin to regenerate from sickness, from disease, and you get to partner the supernatural with the natural process that God takes us through. All right, so this is where the fun really starts, because most of this stuff up to now, other than your meditation and self-love time, have been the defensive. But this is where we start to shift to the offensive. And I love football. And I grew up with the Seattle Seahawks. I'm from Washington State. And we had season tickets most of my life. And you cannot win a football game only with defense. I don't care how good or big your linemen are. I don't care what you do. You must create touchdowns. You must score to win. You must get on the offensive and move your offensive. And this is an offensive move. So you can stay on the defensive and you're always doing your heart work and you're always working on forgiveness. But let me tell you what your heart's really designed for. As I said before, it is designed as a great manifester of the heavenly realm. That is your heart's design. So that's why you've got to be serious about getting off of your heart and out of your heart those things that are not of Jesus or light. And then you've got to be diligent about writing what you do desire on your heart, not on your head. We know what you want in your head. I'm not talking about want. I'm talking about the desires of your heart, your purpose, your extraordinary, your kingdom assignment. That's what I'm talking about. That's what needs to be written on your heart. It's how we literally manifest and cause the angels instruction and build our faith to bring those things from our heavenly storehouse into the earthly realm. Well, that has nothing to do with the earth's economic system. It has nothing to do with how much money you have in your bank account or not. This is a supernatural access, and your heart is the key. And so we've got to begin to write the truth of the scripture on our heart. And you do this through meditation time. You do this by believing it as if you've already received it. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about the finished work. How do we begin to step into the kingdom economy and not the world economy as it breaks down all around us? And so writing on your heart is critical. The emotions that God placed in us are lined up and become instruction to the angels. So it's really important what's happening in your heart. It's not private. All of heaven sees it. Not all of heaven, but particular angels see it. So we've got to take time to write on our hearts. This is what you do in that meditation time. Get crystal clear about what your desire is. What is it that you need? Is it peace that you need? I've been really praying for ease. I'm not just talking about material stuff. You can do that with that too. That's the easy stuff. But how do you allow that to be written on your heart from a want where, oh, I just wish this was easier and I want ease in my head. A want lives in your head. It's a thought. Into a desire, meaning it's now magnetizing and causing instruction and alignment in the earth. And you begin to visualize it as if it's already done. And then you believe it as if you've received it. You wrap your emotions around it as if it's in your hand. So if you do want a financial blessing, if you do want an emotional blessing, whatever it is, if you want a state of being, you believe it as if you've already received it and you allow it to wash over your body and just be received as if it's already manifest. And the word says that it will then be done for you. That's deep, y'all. But that's what we have access to. And so writing on your heart is critical and it takes time. And imagine when just you're not on the defensive anymore, all the darkness is out of the way. You know you're walking in victory. This is what you get to do to manifest Jesus and his purpose in your life for the rest of your days. You're not designed to be just in effect or defense. I already talked about commanding the angels. You don't have to know their name, but just command the angels by their authority and dominion. Okay? And here's the beautiful thing. You can send an angel anywhere. So I was asked yesterday by one of the women in my business alliance, you know, my daughter's, you know, I think she was in Florida or something working to come back, but couldn't get a plane ride and quarantined or whatever it is that's happening in these days. And she can command angels from right where she sits. And I had a prophet once tell me that an angel can get anywhere in the earth in 7 seconds or less. They can circle the earth in 7 seconds. And so imagine what you have at your command. So if you are in a place that your family is someplace else, your children are someplace else, your loved ones are someplace else, allow the angels to do the work for you that you can't do physically. That's what they're there for, to move in the supernatural on your behalf. I already talked about this, you all, but begin to speak to territories. The precursor Old Testament was the Passover, where they, you put blood on the door and darkness couldn't enter. We're not doing that anymore. We get to put the word, we get to put Jesus over the door now. So speak to territories, to thresholds, to doorways that certain things cannot enter. And I really mean that. Take command over the air. Take command over the unclean in other people. That if someone's functioning in a certain spirit or behavior, it can't, and it's not of light, it cannot live in this territory that you have dominion over. So be intentional about that. And you want to do it before you get to the territory. And you don't have to be there to be able to do it. You actually can take dominion as long as the Lord has given you authority. If he's given you authority in your family, you can begin to take dominion over the territories of their homes and stand in the gap and intercede for them until they wake up to who they are. Now, another big one, y'all, renew your mind daily. Most of us forget. We forget who we are, and it's specifically if a financial challenge comes or a sickness comes. We just get spiritual amnesia all over the place, and we start acting like everybody else, which we're seeing right now in the world. And it requires renewing your mind daily until you get to a point where your thoughts are easily lined up with the mind of Christ. And you can pull down any negative thought in 10 seconds or less and realign it with the truth. You pull down all thoughts that attempt to elevate themselves that are not of light. And this is a skill set that you've got to practice. Our minds are not static. They are like they stretch, they move like rubber bands, as the Lord was showing me. And depending on how renewed your mind is the capacity for your mind to operate in the light. And then guess what? They constrict. And they typically constrict at night. So you can feel, let's say it's a Tuesday, you're like, I'm feeling strong. I feel clear in the Lord. I'm peaceful about this thing. And then, Lord, you may hear something on NPR or hear something going on in the world. And oh my goodness, now you're panicked again. Your mind's constricted. Renewing your mind is enlarging your mind to line up with the mind of Christ. And I actually asked the Lord, Lord, this is what your word says, that I'm to have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? Show me how to walk in that and begin to reconnect with that on a daily basis so your mind stays strong. I call it a Teflon mindset. And this takes time, energy, and effort, but you should be able to pull down any thought quickly. And any thought someone tries to feed to you, you immediately have discernment to reject it and not allow it in your thought, in your ear and eye gates. And that really is something I practice on a daily basis. Pull them down immediately. And certainly don't allow those thoughts in my head. It's enough to manage the ones trying to come at you from other people. It takes that meditation time to renew your mind and really check in with your mind and your heart. What are you believing God for today? And it's day by day, you all. What are you believing God for today? And your mind constricts more and your heart opens up more to the things of light and Jesus. And then guess what? The next day, wait a minute, there's not as much constriction and you're opening up more and you're beginning to move into what I call the realm of impossible, to believe God for the impossible, because that's the business he's in. Ooh, you guys, I can do a whole other teaching on finances. If you remember the prophetic insight I brought you at the beginning, one of the things God is doing right now is he's changing our dependence from the world's economic system to the kingdom's economic system. The world's economic system is built on addition and subtraction. God's economic system is built on multiplication and overflow. We need to enter in and ask the Lord about this in your meditation time. How do I enter in? One of the ways you start to enter in, and I'll give you some tips on this, is you begin to focus on the finished work. And I shared this at one of the conferences, and I was blown away at how much of a revelation it was. It sure was to me. But when I shared it with the ladies that were at the conference, and the Lord, I guess, took pity on me. Because you all, I said goodbye to paychecks 20 years ago, actually 21 years ago now. And so I have had massive teaching in the area of how in the world do we walk in God's economy? How do you create resources out of nothingness? How do we do this? How do we begin to build? So I have a lot of insight. I'll be releasing that later in the year, but this is what we need to know. Finally, God said to me, he just must have gotten frustrated or taken pity on me or whatever. And he says, daughter, and it was a strong word. He said, stop asking me for money. I don't have any of that in heaven. And I was like, what? He says, no, the vibration of money is so low that I delegated it to Mammon. And we know Mammon's not of light. And he said, and every time we ask for money, we welcome in the light mixed with the darkness. And the word goes on and says, we cannot serve two masters. We either serve God or Mammon. And God said that he designed it. What we receive as Christians is like, oh, or we misperceive actually. And we say, well, that means I don't want to give up my relationship with God. So I'm just going to reject Mammon. I'm just going to reject money. I'm just going to reject those things. And that's why as a body of Christ, we're broke and busted, which is not our natural call. We are called to be able to have the resources to do our vision, to do our purpose, and to change the things in the earth. And if we tell the truth about how much our purpose cost, it's a lot. And so he said, stop asking for money. There's no money in the heavenly realm. I was like, what? I've always in church asked for the money, call it forth, all this stuff. I said, well, I was just jacked up. I was like, whoa. It was like I could hear my brain short circuiting. Like, what? He said, stop asking for money. He said, the only thing I have in the heavenly realm is the finished work. If you want me to release something from your storehouse, ask me for the finished work, not the settle, because settle is in fear. Ask me for what you really desire. And then that goes back to that believing it as if you received it, writing it on your heart. So I started practicing this and I was blown away. And so what that would look like, I'll give you some real examples. So before I understood this revelation, I was asking God for the money to be able to pay the salaries of my team. Lord, this, I had it all figured out on a spreadsheet. I need this many thousands of dollars consistently to pay the team. So I'm asking God for the money. Bring the money, bring the money so I can bring the team. It's not the finished work. The finished work is never the money. The finished work is what you have at the other side of it, as if it's already here. And he said, stop asking me for the money and ask me for the team you need. What team members do you need? Do you even know? I was like, oh my God. I started asking them for the team and they all came forward. They all came out of the healing and deliverance work I've been doing. Blew my mind. And he said, stop asking for the money and ask for the finished work. Ask for the team you need. I'll figure out the how. If you need a bill paid, it's not the money you need. It's the finished work of making sure your lights stay on with no problem at all. And you never want just enough. So focus on the finished work. If it's a new vehicle you need, don't ask for a used, Lord, just give me something to get by to get from point A to point B. That's not your heart's desire. Focus on your heart's desire. What would it look like if you had all the money? And that's what God has in heaven to release to you. This took me a moment to even get clear about the finished work because I had been asking for the settle. Like, I know I really desire this, Lord, but I'll be good with this. Just give me this. And he's like, that's based on fear. And I never bless fear. My grace will cover it, but I will not bless it. I was like, oh my God. So really take time to focus on what is the finished work? What is the finished work? And it always needs to be around your purpose, around your need. And it's never, never, never money. Stop asking God for money. What are you looking to truly get? Because that's his finished work and what he has to release to you. Then you build your faith as if it's already in your hand. You allow your emotions to line up with it. The moment it gets written on your heart, it becomes the instruction to the angels. They begin to orchestrate on your behalf. And what happens is what we call miracles. We're like, oh my Lord, the Lord blessed me with the financial miracle. He blessed me with a miracle. You all, this is just the way we're supposed to live. Growing back a leg is a miracle. Having the resources to fulfill the promise he gave us is not a miracle. It's fundamental. So we got to ask for the finished work. And then we've got to start to lead with the numbers. We have been pounding this into our business owner's mind. Lead with the numbers. God loves numbers. So if our numbers aren't right, if the household budget isn't right, if how much we need to live on and have saved isn't calculated somewhere, lead with the numbers. Stop fearing numbers. What we don't like, particularly as women, is lack. We don't like to count anything when there's not enough. But you have to begin to lean into the numbers, whether they're positive or negative, because guess what begins to happen? We start literally stepping into God's economic system and literally materializing and drawing. And this is not the law of attraction. That's the world's version of writing on your heart. The biblical version is write it on your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so you really want to start leading with the numbers. You want to get order. Resources are attracted to order. And you start to magnetize it when you start leading with the numbers. If you want to lose weight, start leading with the numbers. You want the finished work of being healthy, of being fit, of being the weight that your bone structure is designed for. Focus on the finished work and lead with the numbers. So step on the scale. You got to know what the numbers are. Lead with the numbers. God begins to respond. Remember that 10% I mentioned earlier? Save 10% first, then you tithe 10%. And God will expand the 80. He's about overflow. But you must have a seed because resources are commanded to multiply. Seeds are designed to multiply. But most of us have been taught that you give that 10% away. Now there is a first fruits offering, but that is not constant. That's not all the time. Keep the first 10% for yourself. Any wealth book will tell you this. And then you take care of the tithe. So you always have meat in your house. You always have a seed to be multiplied. You always have a magnet to pull with. That's really important. Okay. And you start building up your storehouse, your savings. You start building up that finished work coming into the earth. And here's when you know you've got enough. Not just when your need is met. That's just the beginning. That's just fundamental. But the word says, right before in that scripture, that he's transferring the wealth of the sinner to the just, or the wealth of the wealth of the wicked to the righteous. It says a good man creates an inheritance for his children's children. So here's how I think. Until I have enough resource in my storehouse to take care of my daughter's unborn children, I'm not there yet. So you don't have to say, oh Lord, it's just too much. No, it's not. Go get a couple trust funds. Go get the stuff set up. Start building your storehouse. Start becoming that kingdom distribution center. If people need toilet paper the next go around, guess what? We're going to have it. All right? So you want to start stepping into God's economic system. Build your storehouse. I can't say that enough. And lastly, guard your territory. Remember, work from the inside out. Stop allowing darkness in your realm. The coronavirus is not allowed. And here's what I want you to remember. In the event that you're moving around and something gets in your body, and you may even have a test and it tells you it's the coronavirus, you still don't go into fear. Because you remember what the word tells us, that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that not believe. Remember I talked about that belief being certainty? It's not just talking about Christians, because there's Christians who don't believe. I'm talking about believers. Then it says, this is how you know. That's what I love about the word. He always gives you examples. This is how you know if you believe. These signs shall follow those who believe. Number one, they shall cast out devils. And in this case, this devil is called coronavirus. You have dominion and authority over it. There's nothing to fear. And you'll cast out devils, you're speaking new tongues. If you take up serpents, you'll be able to take up serpents and tread on them. And if any deadly thing is ingested, it's not going to hurt you. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? But do we really believe? One of my prayers, one of my kingdom prayers, according to the word, I am called to do the works of Jesus and the greater works. My favorite scripture is John 14, 12. And I thought, okay, those are kingdom prayers. So Lord, if I'm called to do the works of Jesus, and I literally went through the word and I did a study on Jesus and I made a list on all of the works he walked in. food multiplication, walking on water, the wealth that he was. Jesus was a wealthy man in the earth, and he was a wealthy man. God brought him into a wealthy family, a generationally wealthy family. And I thought, so all this little poor Jesus, all that's a lot. He was rich and became poor. He gave it up. He had an entourage. He paid for everything. Jesus wore robes that were not even, they were woven without seams. You all, in 2020, I still have never seen that. I have never seen a garment woven from top to bottom with no seams. That's the wealth Jesus walked in. He walked in tremendous wealth. He was a multimillionaire at his birth in a family that was of multimillionaires. Think of those carpenters in those days as real estate developers. That's the family that the Lord gave him in the earth. And then on top of it, the wise man brought him millions upon millions of dollars upon his birth. And he had all of the supernatural power to move in. So Jesus was a wealthy man. He didn't think anything of it when Judas stole the money bag. He knew he was taking money out of the money bag, which means they had more than enough. But do we really believe? And so you all, we've got to remember who we are, that we have the power to access supernatural resources. And if something happens, not just to you, but to your family, to your neighbors, you have the power, if you believe, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All right, so I want to just give you a couple more practical things. I really want you to lean into worshiping as if it's already done. It is the key to writing on your heart. Mark 11, 21 through 26, read it, study it. It's not about just moving the mountain. Read after that. And God is decoding for you how you actually access. So I want you to worship from a different place. I want you to worship as if the coronavirus has been sent into obscurity. And I know we're at a time worship centers aren't even open, which, trust me when I say it, pains my heart. I think worship centers should have the same rules hospitals have. But that's just me. But in the meantime, guess what? Thank God you and I are the church. Get your worship on. Worship as if your finished work is in your hand. Worship as if you have overflowing storehouses in the earth realm. Worship as if everything you need is already done. It's not a job you need. It's the finished work of having more than enough. So don't panic if your job is drying up right now or slowing down or transitioning or your business. I was talking to some actual faithful businesswomen yesterday, Christian businesswomen, and every single one of their businesses were beginning to grow. They were multiplying more work than they could handle because that's what we've been having them lean into and believe in your kingdom identity. Wealth is just part of it. It's who you are. It's not something you want. It's who you are. It's your inheritance as a joint heir with Christ. So worship as if all of that is already done. All right? So this is really, really critical, you all. It's worshiping from a different place. We typically worship from what God has done. I want you to worship not from what he's going to do, but as if it's already done. And let that come because it begins to align your heart and access new levels of manifestation. And then lastly, keep yourself surrounded with believing and faithful people. If you are around naysayers and doubters and panickers, you all get out of those circles as soon as possible. Guard your ear gates and your eye gates. I love NPR. I cannot listen to NPR right now because every single story is on the coronavirus and some new angle thereof. I'm not interested in the coronavirus. I'm interested in being a kingdom citizen and what that means in the midst of it. That's what I'm keeping my ears focused on. So make sure you're guarding your eye gates and your ear gates. That's really important. Even for some of us who are turning toward, you know, we're in the house more, we're binge watching. Use this time to build your purpose, to focus on the focus on the finished work, to focus in and say, God, how do I fill my storehouses? What have you given me to create my livelihood beyond my job? Now is the time. Do not tolerate darkness and use this time wisely. I cannot stress enough. We're never going to get this time back like this. And so this slowdown, this reset, use it to your advantage because God's given you an opportunity. And I want you to think back to how many times you have said in the last 2 or 3 years, I need to slow down. I need more time. I need more rest. If I only had time to think, guess what? This is the time. Use it to get clear about your assignment. I've got a ton of resources for you, but I want you to remember you were called and designed to be free in the midst of the storm, and you carry the power of Jesus in you to quiet the storm, to transcend the storm that's happening around you. So I don't have an upsell. A friend of mine who is a business person, she says, what are you offering next? I was like, I'm not offering anything. I just need people to get this. So this is what I'm asking of you. Feel free to share the recordings, the audio you're going to get, the recording you're going to get. Feel free to share it. Share the handout. Let's get this out to as many Christians as we can so we have specific steps that we need to be doing in this time. This is just the Lord releasing through me. It is not mine, so feel free to put stuff up. I do have a training I'm working on that God's really been pressing me for because he was reminding me that I live in a different dimension. When you live in a kingdom identity, you live in a different dimension. And so I'm decoding the steps he's taken me through, and I'm really going to do that teaching. I'm working on it now, and sometime in April I'll have it up. So just be on the lookout. If you got access to this directly and didn't do the opt-in, definitely go back to the opt-in, which I think, I don't have it on here. I think it's ericajackson.com/activate. Actually go to bit.ly/goodbye coronavirus and sign up. And then I'll make sure you know when this training's ready. And if you're like, Erica, I want more revelation. Trust me, I've been preparing for that for the last 8 years. You can go to the success store on my website, look around. I have all kinds of trainings on there. There's, I think, 30 different trainings, and I have them broken down in the basics or the essentials and advanced. And so make sure you've got those pieces. If you're looking at, I need to create new income streams at this time, I've got something for you. I walk in the king priest anointing as we're all called to do. So there's resources there. But you all, if just to follow these steps I have, you've got plenty to do. Okay. So if you have questions or need help, let me know. And I am a few minutes over. I apologize, but I hope that that was really powerful for you and you were able to really take this in. I just love looking at my screen and looking at all your beautiful faces. And so what I'm going to do is I am going to take some questions in the chat for those of you who want to hang in with me. And I think that the Zoom group chat is open. Yep, it's open. All right. So feel free. Can you guys see that? Put your questions or comments here. So was this helpful, you guys? Other than open up everybody's mics, like give me a thumbs up or something. Was this helpful? Did this remind you of something? Did you get at least one or two takeaway that you actually can implement right here? Yeah, Rebecca's like, yay, that's so good. I hope, not I just hope, but I'm standing in activation of you remembering who you are. And so really down, I'll be able to send the download out. It takes about an hour for it to do its thing in the back end, and then I'll just email it to you. Like I said, in the event that you got on this, I know my church was giving access without necessarily people opting in. Go to bit.ly, which is bit.ly/goodbye coronavirus, and just fill out that opt-in form, because it's those of you who have filled that out and received the confirmation. That's how I'm sending out the recordings. So definitely do that. So I'm so glad it was helpful and you guys got some takeaways. This is deep work and it continues to deepen. And so allow God just to work you deeper and deeper into the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now is a time he is releasing those in a huge way. Oh, absolutely on point and timely. Confirmations were outstanding. Good. I'm hoping you all are already receiving this and it's just a reminder. I'm so glad you all are able to do this. You're so welcome that I'm able to do this. Thank you for being obedient, for making the time on a Saturday morning. I know some of you are in different time zones, but I'm just so, it's just my honor. And I just let this be a gift. let this be a gift because this work has cost me my life. And if that was not in vain, because you all will take this and elevate to kingdom and be that light in your worship center, be that light in every area of your life, I promise you it's been worth everything. Bit.ly. Okay, let me give you the address. Oh, hold on. Bit.ly, I'm writing this out. Coronavirus. That should do it. If you have bit.ly/goodbye coronavirus, then you will get the handout. And it's an audio recording, a video recording, and I'll resend you the handout. And I'll do this as soon as the recording finishes on the back end. I'm so glad you love the practical steps. I get so frustrated sometimes because so much of the teaching is this amazing sermon, but we're not getting takeaways, you know, that are real, like, what do I do? How do I align my time? So good. Oh, love you too, DeCarla. It's so glad you were on. So you guys, any questions? Oh, thank you guys. You're so sweet. You're such an amazing woman filled with grace, compassion, mercy, and kindness. I promise you, this has been a process. So tap into it, you guys. I really am a wellspring for the Lord. So any questions, if you have them or you're still taking it all in, because I know I poured it on you guys like a fire hydrant, you guys grab my email. It's erikadjames.com. Feel free to email me, or if you're on my list already, any emails you receive, if you just respond to them, they come back directly to me. Okay. So don't, even if it comes through my bulk email system, I get it personally back. So feel free to respond as you're taking this in, and you have questions, just know I'm here as a resource. This is what I do all day, every day. I'm doing prophetic strategy sessions. If you're in the Raleigh, Durham area, I am not falling into fear, and I'm doing a prophetic Eagles Roundtable coming up next Saturday, the 28th. And so feel free to join us. It is at my Fearless Business Partners building, so we will not shut down. She's got a cleaning company. It is completely going to be clean, nothing to worry about. And so we can come and really get your prophetic instruction for this time. You can see that at my success store. I have the Eagles Roundtable information on there. And I'll be doing more virtually. I love doing online training. So you'll be seeing more of that come out. Even before the coronavirus and this online stuff, I've been doing stuff like this for years. So I welcome you all. I'm praying for you. I'm interceding for you. And, yeah, that is a question. John Tintin, you said the thief isn't Satan. Who is it? Ah, that's such a good question. We got to answer that, you guys. Okay, hold on. So I was praying on this because it didn't make sense. I was like, wait a minute. If Jesus broke the power of Satan, I've been taught that I've heard sermons, I've heard entire congregations repeat after me. What does Satan come to do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I was like, doesn't even make sense. I said, because we're in the new covenant, he can't have access like that because Jesus broke his power. So I said, Lord, break the scripture down to me. And he began to say, go back up, daughter. It's right there. So it's in the scripture. I'm reading from the King James and my good old beat up Bible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm reading from John 10:1. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And then you read further down, and it says, John 10:9, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. John 10:10 says, the thief come, not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. What that word is saying is anyone who tries to access the children of God or the sheep through any other gateway than Jesus is the thief. In other words, other religions that are mixed with light and dark, because Jesus becomes the light. He becomes the filter, and he filters out the dark so we can access the fullness of God. So anybody who tries to access the children, the sheep, through any other gateway than Jesus, they're coming to steal, kill, and destroy, because other religions are a mixture. They have light and they've got dark. And so we'll see, you know, I'm we're all in process. But that scripture saying the thief is not Satan. Satan's power has been broken. It's those who try to access the sheep by climbing in any other way but through Jesus. Jesus is the door. Okay? So that's what John 10:10 is about. It is not referring to Satan. It's referring to other religions that come in and enter light and dark into our heart. And therefore, that is what leads to being stolen from, being robbed from, and could even cost us our life. But it's not Satan. His power has been broken. Deep stuff, huh? Good stuff. Someone said, I love that I can command angels to go anywhere. My daughter's in Granada, Spain. Yes, in 7 seconds or less, they will be there. Here's the thing, you guys. The more our hearts become of light, the more time we spend in that meditative presence of Jesus, the more like him we become, the more he highlights the things that need to come out, and the higher our ranking goes in the heavenly realm, and the higher the rank of angels we can access. We all have access to them right now, but those of us who are really standing in that kingdom rank, we're living from that place. Everywhere you're ranked, the higher you go, the deeper you get into the mysteries and secrets of heaven, and the more powerful angels you can dispatch. I'm going to tell you guys this story. This is really deep. We have too many unemployed angels. Deploy your angels. Yes. I see that question. Can we still manifest if we're not yet 100% doubt free? Let me answer that. And then I'll tell you guys this story and I'll end on this. Yes, you can. It's because we are covered by the blood of Jesus. It's called the anointing. And the anointing is the power of Jesus that comes up on us when we are still in process. So as you look at the body of Christ, very few of us are operating, sadly enough, in the fullness of our kingdom identity, right? No sickness, no doubt, no sin, any of that, which is absolutely possible. But yet we're still seeing miracles. We're still seeing prayers come through. It's because of the anointing, the power of the Lord up on us, which is the first characteristic of the Father. And so we're still in our process. Here's the key, as I said earlier, it must be spirit led. So if you're dealing with your brokenness or processing, you're like, well, I want to lay hands on this person because I want to heal them. I want the Lord to use me. And it wasn't the Lord saying, daughter, son, go lay hands on that person. Then you're operating not in the anointing, but in your own power. And that's when the doors of your heart are open and stuff can get in. What you want to do is be spirit led, and whatever the Spirit tells you, say yes to it. And it does not matter where you are in your process. You can still be used mightily to impact lives and to be a carrier of miracles. We see it all the time with people still in process. So be encouraged, you all. I was always taught that the order for finances was 10% to God, 10% to savings, 10% to investing. Oh, that's a whole teaching in and of itself. Keep the first seed for yourself. Under the new covenant, the location of the house of God changed. When you read Malachi 3:10, it's to take it to the storehouse to feed the priests because it's old covenant. And the old covenant was take the first 10% to the storehouse. So there'll be meat in the house so the priests could eat. In the new covenant, the location of the house of God changed and you are now God's address. So you are the temple. So you take that first 10% to the temple so you have a seed. You've got something to magnify. That is why people who don't even know the Lord utilize that principle, because every wealth book I have ever read said save the first 10%. And they begin to grow and they begin to multiply. We're the ones who didn't get the memo. You are now the temple of God in which the Most High Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwells. So the first 10% goes to the storehouse, goes to the temple of God. So there's always meat in your house. And then in the new covenant, you give the second 10%. I've never heard it in the earth. It came directly from heaven. Ask about it, have God confirm it. But we will have different experiences as Christians if we stop giving our seed away. Okay? So we definitely are called to support our worship center. Make sure there's meat in your house first. Isn't that deep? All right. So there we go. So I shared more about that. I'll be bringing more teachings out about that as we enter into God's economic system. First 10% stays, and it's not to be touched. Okay? That's different than your investing money. deep stuff, but I'm just telling you guys like it is. I've spent years sitting and getting poured in, and trust me, when you get a revelation, it unravels, and you have to be willing to give up what you think you know. So I was taught that too. And that's why as a body of Christ, we've been broken busted, because we're giving our seed away, which commands money out of our hands instead of, and resources out of our hands instead of into it. That's why we've been begging the world for their resources to fund the things of God. And that is not God's design. All right, you guys. So amen to being spirit led. So there we go. Now I'm going to tell you guys a story about angels. So the Lord started dealing with me years ago about dispatching angels and accessing angels. So I started calling angels in. So I'm mostly a feeler and I hear, but I do not always see. I'm not a seer where, you know, there's people with that gift that they just see into the spiritual realm and they see angels and they can see demons. I've only had a number of times, I can count them on probably two sets of hands, when my eyes, my spiritual eyes have been open. So I feel things. I have a presence. I can feel something. So I was standing in my worship center. This was during a conference a couple months ago. And I can't describe it any other way, but I felt a presence, and I knew it was a presence of light on this side. And then I felt it on this side. It was as if my ears, there was something in the way. And I was like, and I literally looked, but I couldn't see. And I was like, I know that's an angel. And I could feel it. Then I could feel another one come to my left. And I was like, huh, but I couldn't see. And I was ministering to somebody, so I couldn't stop and ask, Lord, what's going on? And the police officer who does security at my, one of them, she's a seer. And she says to me, I see her, and I'm like hugging her through her, you know, protective gear and guns and everything that was on her side. I don't even care. She's a seer. We discovered this at a previous conference she was doing security at. She's like, oh my goodness, did you know that the angel Michael was at your right? I was like, I felt something, but I couldn't see. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't have time to ask its name. And then she says, and then Gabriel was on your left. And I was like, wait, the Michael and the Gabriel? I was like, whoa. So I just, you know, we had a conversation. I kind of filed it, if you will, in my mind. And I came back to my prayer and meditation time. I was like, wait a minute, God. The Michael and the Gabriel, like the same angels that were in the word, the same angels that contend in the heavenly realm, how did they come? You know what he said? He says, you asked for them to come. And he repeated to me the words that I said. And I said, the angels from the highest realms of heaven come. And he said, they just obeyed. And I mean, you talk about even in this work, even operating in the kingdom, you all, God will continually blow our minds, because his job is to restore them. If we're willing to let go of what we think we know, he will bring in the new wine to the new wineskin. And there's nothing that you will not be able to stand against and literally access from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm. So there you go, you guys. That's my final story on the angel, my angels, Michael and Gabriel. And I was like, whoa. And I literally now know what it feels like to have those two particular angels at my right and left. And so I'm just praying into that. Lord, show me more. Show me their uniforms. What are their callings? How do you know their authority? They're all this stuff. You know, there's a whole realm we're supposed to be praying into. So let's get these things down. Feel free to share this. Let me know what questions you have. And so glad that you guys took the time to join me. I love you. I could stay on with you guys forever, but I think you've gotten enough. So we're going to go ahead and close this out. I appreciate you. Again, I'll be interceding. Let me know what help and you need. Stay strong, because the world is watching, and this is our time to shine. So with that, you guys, this is Erica. I'm going to be signing off of activating your, the suit. What was it? Wait, what's the title? Oh, activating your spiritual power against coronavirus. All right, you guys, love you much, and I'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye. See you guys. Oh, can I pray now? Sure, I'll pray. Okay, so I'm going to pray real quick. Okay, so those of us still holding on, I'm going to pray. I want you guys just to take a deep breath. And thank you. That's just the right end into this. So I just want you guys to let go of all this old stuff. Whew. And all the stuff the world is trying to feed us right now. And we just come into alignment, Father, with who you've called us to be. And so right now, Heavenly Father, we just come boldly to your throne of grace. We come standing in remembrance of who you create us to be, thanking you and praising you, Father, for your power, your might, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, your counsel, your anointing. And we are just in awe of who you are. And we thank you as our creator that you placed a purpose and an assignment for such a time as this in us. And we just call forth that assignment to stir up in our spiritual DNA and come to our remembrance. And we thank you, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah, that you paid the price. You took it all. You took every stripe. So, Lord, we can access life and life more abundantly. And we thank you for the overflow. We thank you for the miracles. We thank you for the glory, the majesty, Lord. We just ask that you show us how to appropriate the power of you in us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here, for us being able to tune into your frequency at any time. And we're just so grateful and so thankful that this is our time to rise, Father, that we operate now in the gospel of the kingdom, of your rulership, your power, your dominion and authority. So Lord, I just ask that you clear out the time that each of these sons and daughters needs to sit in your presence. Lord, I ask that you just reveal the questions they should be asking, so you reveal the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And we just decree and declare that we remember who we are. Lord, teach us how to rule, how to reign, how to breathe, how to operate, how to be on your throne with you at your right hand in Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you just use us mightily at this time, that we begin to walk in those works of Jesus and the greater works that you've called us to operate in. We thank you that we are standing as beacons of light and hope for everybody around us. We thank you that you have already sent the angels of protection and hedges of protection around our family members. We thank you right now, angels, that you are coming from the realms of heaven to bring light into the atmosphere that literally destroys all sickness, all disease, including coronavirus. And we just decree and declare that coronavirus is commanded to die. And any spirit of infirmity that's entered in, Lord, bring it to our awareness so we can cast it out and teach us how to operate in your ways in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that your word does not return void, but it does those things and it prospers in those areas to which you have sent it. Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that if we speak to mountains and tell them to go into the sea, that they shall obey. So we pray for help with any unbelief right now, Lord, so we can move in 100% certainty of who you created us to be and our full dominion, power, and authority over the earth realm and the heavenly realm. And we just decree and declare, have your way, Holy Spirit. All this we pray. And even more, Lord, the things we don't even know how to pray for, I ask that you just teach us how to operate in the kingdom economic system. Just confirm your words today, Lord, so we know that we know that we know. And Lord, just have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. That feels complete. Okay. So now I think we can go. So I will stop the recording. I love you guys. Be your amazing selves, and I'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye.